Now in the room, I'd like to start the June 9th Administrative Finance Committee meeting on the 8th floor council room, conference room. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Scott Collins, will be taking the minutes. Want to recognize who's joined us at the table for the Finance Committee meeting today. Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Powers, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilmember Diller. Do I have a motion on the minutes of the 26th of May?
Second.
So moved on the minutes.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved from the previous Finance Committee meeting. Under resolutions, we have no resolutions. And before we get into the ordinance that is under ordinance, I'd like to ask indulgence of council to change the order so we can go to county council grants, because we have a citizen here as a timetable issue. Does everybody have a motion to okay. We're going to go to the council branch. We have a motion and a second.
Just get to it.
Have a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're going to change the motion, the order of business to our Newcastle County grant request, and then we'll go back into regular order of business. So first grant application night we have is the Western District Advisory Councilman, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this grant, I sent a little synopsis out about it to all of council, just kind of an FYI. I knew Chief was here. He stepped out of the room, too. But Western District Advisory Council works with the Newcastle County Police, and they host it's called National Night Out. Now, Mr. Bill Wheatley's here today from Brookside, who has been a very instrumental part in that organization there. And this year, just because they're holding it at Glasgow Park, I'm sponsoring it, you know. But it's obviously, you know, a countywide function. And I don't even know if anybody from the Western District Advisory Council even lives in the district. I'm not sure. But the fact they're hosting it there, I said, you know, we'd bring it forward. So, they've asked for $2,500. I'm going to propose $1,000. You know, it's the end of the year. I'm running out.
Okay.
Anybody else has any money, like I said, because of it? Bill's here. I think he might speak a little bit on the Western District, exactly what it is, what they do, and how the organization functions. And like I said, this is an activity that the police actually hold. Public safety is all there, emergency management, everybody's there for this event.
All right, why don't we have a motion on $1,000 for that Western District Advisory Council. Do I have a motion?
Second.
And a second, and then we'll open for discussion.
Or do I put it up for 25, but I'm only giving $1,000? How do you work that?
We'll see how that pans out after Mr. Wheatley's comments.
Procedurally, okay.
Mr. Wheatley, do you want to address this grant proposal, sir?
Now. Yep.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am Bill Wheatley, and I'm a member of the Western District Advisory Council, past vice president. And I'm here because the members asked me to speak on behalf of them for the National Night Out. I thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to speak. National Night Out is a event sponsored by the National Association of Town Watch People. It takes place on Tuesday, August the 4th at 2015. It'll be at 5 to 8 p.m. at the Glasgow Regional Park on Route 40 and 896. This event is nationwide. All neighborhoods participate in this, and our goal is to heighten crime and drug awareness, to generate support for and participation in local crime prevention programs, strengthen neighborhood spirit and police community partnership, and send a message to potential criminals that neighborhoods are united and organized against crime. We work very closely with Newcastle County Police Department. Newcastle County Advisory Councils are helping to celebrate this event. We would appreciate any assistance you may be able to render. If you have any questions about National Night Out, they can be directed to Newcastle County Police Community Services Unit, area code 302-395-8050. Thank you in advance for your generosity, and please let us know if you will join us in the celebration of National Night Out, taking a bite out of crime. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for your explanation and testimony, sir. We really appreciate when citizens come in here and advocate for their community. Thank you. I have a motion on the table for $1,000 for the Western District Advisory Council for their National Night Out sponsorship. Does anybody want to contribute additional funds?
I was going to say, I don't know if the chief wanted to speak on it, too, because I think this is under, you know, the onus of, I guess, his leadership with
Chief Setting, did you want to
and everything,
offer a commentary on this?
In short, I mean, we are at a time in policing where we have to have more and more community involvement, and, you know, we've kind of led the way with that, certainly in this state, and in regards to the program, we are in full support of it and would greatly appreciate council support as well. It's a bridge builder, and we need more of that, and I support the program 100%.
Okay. Councilmember Kilpatrick. Thank you for
that, good Chief. Portion of my district is also in the Western District. I can, if I have the money, I can do 500. If not, I'll have to go down. Do we know what I'm...
While we're waiting, I want to recognize that Council President Bullock has joined us, Councilman Retta, and Councilman Weiner.
I can do five.
All right, we're going to have an additional
I'll 500. I'll do 250.
500 from Councilmember Kilpatrick, 250 from Councilman Bell.
Powers.
Excuse me, Powers. You're very interchangeable.
He's got hair.
Where to care?
I don't go to Disney World.
He's got hair.
Oh, yeah, I see it behind Penrose.
All right. There we go. We're able to raise some more money from this important community event, National Night Out, sponsored by the Western District Advisory Council. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, grant's approved, sir. Thank you for your involvement in the community. Councilman Tackett.
So just for the record, that's $1,750.
Yep.
Correct.
$1,750. Okay. We're going to move through and approve the rest of these, and we'll go back to the regular order of business. Newcastle County 4-H FF.
Did you vote on that one?
Yes, we did. All those in favor, we
approved
that.
Did you miss your turn to talk?
No, yeah. For the record, I didn't say aye. That means I'm not voting.
Newcastle County 4-H FFA Livestock Classic, Councilman Powers.
Yeah, they put in for $2,500. I'm going to put up $1,500.
You want to make that into a motion?
I move that give $1,500 to Newcastle County 4-H FFA Livestock.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Not voting.
All those opposed, one not voting. All right, $1,500 approved to the Newcastle County 4-H FFA Livestock Classic. Corbett Calloway Memorial Library. Councilman Bell is not going to be here, but his most trustworthy aide is risen to speak. Yes.
Karen Barlow, on behalf of Councilman Bell, who would like to give $1,000 to the Corbett Calloway Library for their 2015 Summer Reading Club program.
You're in trouble reading,
aren't
you?
I like to make
some
move. Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded $1,000 to the Corbett Calloway Memorial Library for the Summer Reading Club. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Councilman
Tackett. Procedural. They've gotten a total of $41,000.
No. It's supposed to be a dollar
yeah,
sign.
Okay.
Would be a
that was pretty well, good.
This
group
knows how to work us.
That's what I just checked.
Someone's alert. Okay. Moving along. Dunley Civic Association, Councilman Street. Charnice speaking, his aide speaking for Councilman Street.
Hi, Charnice Jackson speaking on behalf of Councilman Street. Councilman Street would greatly appreciate if council will approve this grant for Dunleaf. It's for their community activities. And they actually asked for $2,500, but all we have left is, all he has left is $800. So if anyone would like to be nice and add to it, Councilman Street would greatly appreciate it.
All right, someone, I'll put that in the form of a motion for $800 for the Dudley Civic Association. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, anybody wanting, open for discussion, anybody want to contribute anything more? Everybody's pretty tapped out here at the end of fiscal year. All right, we have a motion, a second, all those, yes?
Can we go back to that one? I need to go check your office.
I think there might be an issue with the money.
Yeah. I think he gave it.
All right, we're going to pause and wait to see if that money is available. Or do you want to go ahead and check? All right, Jim Boyle, we'll move along to the next one. We're going to come back to that.
Can we do a contingent on his funds?
He's going to check, make sure he actually has the $800 before he approves that.
With passing it down.
We're going to move along to the next one while we wait on that answer. Brandywine Hills Community Association, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I make a motion for $1,500 to the Brandywine Hills Civic Association for the beautification of the medians and to maintenance of the streetscape there.
Second.
All right, we have motion and a second. Those are the medians that along Washington Street Extension?
And throughout the maintenance within the ditch itself.
Okay, very nice. All right, we have motion and a second for the Brandywine Hills Community Civic Association for $1,500 for beautification of medians. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Not voting.
All those opposed? Okay, the grant is approved for the Brandywine Hills Community Association for beautification of medians throughout the community. Waiting on the Dudley grant. See if we have the amounts.
Can we just change the motion to contingent on having the funds?
Make a motion to approve $800 grant subject to having the availability of the funds.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, there we go. That handles that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Not voting.
All those opposed? All right, we are approving that grant contingent upon the funding being available.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I make a friendly amendment suggesting that if there's a lesser sum, that that also be the will of council that we approve?
Up to.
Up to.
Would you like to put that in a form of a motion?
Friendly motion that if there's less than $800, that council would like to make this mini grant up to whatever amount is left in that account.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, so we now amend that motion contingent upon funds being available. Whatever funds are available will be applied to the Dudley Civic Association for the community festival and activities.
It's easy.
All right, we've gotten through the order of business that
motion to return to regular order of business.
Motion to return to regular order of business.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Going back to the regular order of business, ordinances, ordinance 15-058, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, this is to amend County Code Chapter 14, Finance Taxation regarding fiscal notes for proposed ordinance and resolutions. This places into the code the fact that we expect to receive the fiscal note within three days of submitting it to the finance department and what's needed in the fiscal note. And if it's not received, then the sponsor can move forward with the introduction of the legislation regardless, or obtain a fiscal note from elsewhere.
Any comments from members of council? I think it's important to have fiscal notes in a timely and basis and reflect accurately the fiscal impact any proposed ordinance or resolution would have on our county finances. So anybody want to offer any comments, questions on ordinance 15-058? Seeing none, anybody from the public like to make a comment on that? All right. Moving along under other, we've approved the council grant request. Review of financial statement regarding capital recovery fee line for the sewer fee. That's what this is intended. This is something I wanted just to review for council's enlightenment and I guess Our CFO is here. Did you want to make a comment about that, sir?
The only thing I would say is, I'm really not sure what we're going to discuss, but it might be wise if I bring in the external auditor.
Okay.
To help explain, you know, what happened, why the change.
Okay. And just for background,
that's one thing I would recommend.
The capital recovery fee line in the sewer budget was set up initially to recover capital, as I recall, from the construction of the central core in southern New Castle County, and we're having some discussion about how that's been reclassified as an asset for the county. And they're going to want to bring external auditors in. Councilman Smiley.
Well, as long as they're going to bring the external auditors, I thought as of the last, when it was the last discussion, wasn't there a legal opinion that was had or was coming forward? Is that available yet? Or is that part of what they would bring?
The law department just reaffirmed the original legal opinion of Dennis Seabolt back in whenever that was, 1980s or 90s. And
I thought you were looking for an outside legal opinion.
No.
Confirmation. Okay, so we'd have to do that. All right.
Just by further background, it's my recollection that we expended nearly $30 million in bonding to build the central core of southern New Castle County to facilitate the growth zone, growth building in the growth zone, and there was a fee associated with each unit constructed. It was something like $9,000 to $10,000, and that line was set up to recover those funds that were expended for construction of the central core. So we're continuing to, to explore this matter about how this line was, is being treated now by our accounting standards with regards to the sewer fund. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, Co-Chair Cordy, I'd just like some clarification. Was Mr. Coop or someone in finance I'm trying to figure out whether we're in pre-budget deja vu, or is this going to continue to be the path forward? Was the request put to finance by yourself for them to be prepared to do this today?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just like we were before the budget. Okay.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. CFO.
Mike Coop, there was a request?
Well.
No, there wasn't a request.
Wait, tell him he's a liar, not me. I asked a question, he made the statement. I just want some clarity for this council.
I revised the agenda that just came out.
Yeah. I would just say that I have, continued concern about this. I want to further explore this issue, and we put it under other. And I had a meeting before this meeting with the CFO where he offered to provide further, discussion on this matter going forward, and which I appreciate, and I just want to be clear that the sewer fund is running, in a fiscally sound state, and we are meeting all our obligations, including the reclassification of the capital recovery fee line.
Well,
so
on the record, we will place this on the next finance agenda. Mm-hmm. If for some reason you aren't be able to meet that timetable, please advise us in advance.
I will check with the external auditors and
if you can let us know before the agenda comes out, that's great.
I did let Councilman Cartier know. I found his email as I was going through some emails, and back in October 2013, Council evidently had some questions concerning, because one of the questions was, I don't think that impact fee and recovery fees are the same, and I believe we should get a clearer understanding of what each is. The code leads me to believe that these are different. If the department is not separating them, then maybe we need to figure out which is correct, the department or the code, and bring them into line. Either the code changes or the department uses the terminology consistent with the code. So even back 2 years ago, I believe some people were starting to wonder, the difference between capital recovery fees and impact fees. And, there was also, what is a capital recovery fee? There's a fee that is charged to recoup the cost of building and maintaining the sewer infrastructure, sewer mains, manholes, and pump stations. The capital recovery fee amount in your area can be found on the sewer homepage under departmental policy. That's just some statements here. So that's why I say I think it would be good if the external auditors came in and would be able to explain the adjustment, you know, why it's an asset, not a liability.
It will be on the agenda for the 23rd.
I will pursue that for the next agenda. And if there is an issue, I will certainly
let me know in advance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, under other expense and revenue roundtable, is there anything being offered by members of council for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything for the public? Okay. Moving on, next item under other, discussion on the county's tax penalty fee structure. Who was leading us? Yes.
I was the one that asked.
Council member
a discussion. Since that time, I looked at the state law, and Jim Boyle looked at the state law. I've talked to Hal Godwin from Sussex County and Mike Petitdemange from Kent County, and we obviously are driven by the state law. So in order to have anything changed on how we penalize taxes that are late, delinquent taxes, we would have to go through and have the state change the law. But we charge 18%. We do 6% up front and 1% each month. However, we do it on the county tax and the school tax, from what I can find. In Kent County, they charge 1.5% per month on the county tax and only 1% per month on the school tax. Sussex is the same. So they, through state law, are paying the people, residents down there that are delinquent through state law, are paying less in penalty because of the difference in how we charge the school tax. Now, I've come across several people recently who, you know, there's no way they could have fit under the amnesty program, even though I know we recouped a decent amount of money under that program, and they now are in the process of taking out home equity loans. I failed to see why they didn't take out a home equity loan in the month of May and pay it all and have it be over with. And, you know, on a home equity loan, what are they going to pay? 4.5% compared to our 18%. I mean, I don't know the justification as to how this came up through the General Assembly in what, who chose how much we were going to pay. But this is like bad credit card debt. This isn't a loan. I mean, this is 18% is a lot of money to be charging people. Yeah. So they owe, I mean, recently in the last couple of weeks, I've had a guy with 9% and a guy with 9,000 and one with 11,000 that they owed. They will never get that paid off because by the time we continue to add 1.5% on top of that every month, the payments that they make will never get them to the principal part of it.
Councilman Wander and Councilman Smiley.
Yes.
Councilman Hollins.
Mr. Chair, would you entertain a motion that we pass a resolution with a letter from Council President to the state legislature urging that they amend the code to be consistent with Kent and Sussex County?
All right. Well, it's an idea. Councilman Smiley.
Well, I have something else, but on that motion, this council decided way back when that any possibility of anything going to the state legislature had to be drafted, put in writing, brought before this council, and then voted in that procedure. So
my motion would be consistent to that.
But that would be done that way.
Yes.
That we not be voting something.
I wholeheartedly concur. My motion is consistent with that, or consider that to be a friendly amendment.
So.
And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm not necessarily asking. I'm just giving you the information that I have. I mean, some of the complaints we've gotten is that we are higher than the other counties, that we're the highest county, and we're not, you know, and we're consistent at the 18%, but it's the different than the school tax being the highest by far, the difference in charging 1 and 1.5% on school tax, I would think would be significant over a certain number of years, especially.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I think Councilwoman Kilpatrick makes an excellent point, and so I present my motion, and I agree that we should urge them per our procedure.
We state the motion, sir, again.
Yeah.
Jim Boyle, one is
Jim Boyle, Policy Director. One of the discussions we also had was the principal versus interest, is that one of the reasons that in most cases, and I've done this with the Department of Labor, is that in most cases, accounting-wise, the interest is applied first to the debt.
Right.
In this case, there has been examples where I changed the state law for unemployment benefits in the Department of Labor, where principal is paid first instead of the interest, which reduced the liability greatly, and things were paid off because in most cases they were never paid off. But right. There was also already a state precedent with the Department of Labor on their unemployment benefits that the principal is paid first, which will reduce the debt. And I think that should be included probably in the state law change.
I mean, that is one of the ways where the principal comes down the fastest, because the law, I don't think it says it under each county, but one of the counties says, you know, you apply it to the interest, and then if there's anything left over at the end of the year, you can apply it to the principal. I don't know, and maybe Mike can answer this. I mean, do we look at it year by year, and if there's anything left over, if you've paid all your payments and you've paid off your interest, let's say, for that year, then do you put anything towards the principal, or do we just continue?
I brought Denny.
Of course you did.
since we're going back in the archives as to how old this is, and, you know, so I figured I'm going to bring this up.
I know you're not that
expert.
Old.
I'm old.
Got it.
Subject matter expert on this here, because I believe a lot like you were saying about the immigration.
Denny Hartman, Finance. Yes, when we post penalty, when we post payments, it posts penalty first and then principal, but it's by event. You know, so if you owe for 5 years, it posts penalty of the oldest year, and then it posts the principal of that year, and then it goes to penalty of the next oldest year. So it doesn't pay penalty for every year first. It goes year by year, but it goes penalty first and then principal. And just a little background on the 6% up front. Now, this is what I was told when I started, you know, is that Newcastle County used to be 1% every month. And there was an issue with mortgage companies that are paying us $30 million a year. Back then, you know, 30, 40, they could make more interest holding the money. So they would hold the money and pay our 1%, and they would earn whatever, which was more than that, and we had a problem with that.
Now so they would purposely pay it late,
yes,
is what you're saying?
Yes, they would purposely pay it late because they could hold the money and make more interest than our
1%.
Right.
And then that's what precipitated us to go to change the state code. Again, that's before me. And just a little clarification, I didn't realize that Kent and Sussex weren't charging a 1.5 on school. I'm not sure that's where I read this, but, and I'm not sure, if the 1.5, if you carry that out forever, it's more than us. You know, because we're charging 6% up front, but then 1% a month, if they're for 5 years, it's for 5 years. Where Kent and Sussex are charging 1.5 per month. Once you get past
on the county portion.
Yeah, but let's just say, look, once you get past the 11th month, their penalty is a lot more than ours, because they're still charging 1.5 and we're only charging 1. And in the 11th months is when they become even equivalent with us. They've charged the 18% just like we have. But
right.
Then after that, we're only charging 1, they're charging 1.5. So on their portion, they are charging more once you get past the first 11 months of the delinquency period.
So. So asking for the General Assembly to change something, we have a variety of factors that would need to be looked at. I mean, one of them being, and probably the most resident-friendly one, would be to have something go towards the principal. Even if you did it as a mortgage, where it was kind of a percentage that went towards the principal, at least something is paying it down, because once your principal is down, then every month that you're charged the 1% or 1.5% or whatever it would be, then it's on a smaller amount. So, right. I mean, the last person that I went into the Department of Finance with, what we read on the website for 1 month, and by the time we got in there, the difference was like $1,500. So these are accruing fairly quickly, and with all the referendums and the school taxes going up, it's only going to get worse.
Councilman Hollins had raised his hand, and then we can maybe conclude this discussion with a motion or not. Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that we went to the General Assembly some years ago to get the increase, but Janet, are you saying that in order to decrease, we still have to go back to the General Assembly?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's the amount, the percentage is stated the within the law.
Okay.
It's stated, it's Title 9, Chapter 86, 8604.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
And just for the record, my question was answered by Mr. Hartman. I was looking to the history of how we got there.
Councilman Tackett.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Too, I just want to, you know, obviously, for the direction that we're giving the Council President in the letter and the request are make sure that, you know, we are doing the right thing and potentially by moving in this, if they're making more money after 11th month, we're not moving in a way that's actually going to accelerate after 11 months what's owed. And then, two, if we're going down there, why don't we just ask them to go ahead and tell the schools to collect their own tax?
Well, that would be the best.
That's right.
That's right. Then our little tax penalty would look like nothing.
Then we had to pay the cross mark.
Well, that would be.
Do we want to entertain a motion on this question, or we want to wait for a resolution?
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, Councilman Retta.
Yeah, I think we ought to wait and get more facts.
Okay.
And then look at it.
All right. Any other discussion concerning tax penalty fee structure related to overdue school taxes? All right. We pretty much hashed that out. It's an interesting point. I guess we don't want to really get in a situation where we make it impossible for citizens to retire. What's a, you know, that's...
Well, we're there.
We're really there. Bad. State does a
At 18%,
job.
We're there.
That's bad.
State okay. does a good job on that, too.
All right. Moving on to other... Do we have the amount that would go to the Dunley Civic Association?
We're good with the $800.
Oh, we're good with the $800. So we approved up to $800.
So that's
good to have clarity on that. For Dunley there. Moving on, anything on the other from members of council, members of the public? All right, public comment. Any comment from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the Administrative Finance Committee meeting of June 9th, 2015 is now adjourned.
Thank you.